And we're here on the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown from WGR Radio. Mike O'Hare, DetroitLions.com, as we talk Detroit Lions football. Week 18, Game 17. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Ken Brown.
Mike, I tell you, when the Lions were 1-6, I was saying, are we going to have enough stuff to talk about the rest of the year? Are we going to be able to make it to Week 18 and have a podcast where people actually listen to it? But there's actually stuff going on. Excitement in the air. Week 18. Lions still. I love it when you turn on ESPN or turn on NFL Network or whatever and you see in contention, in the hunt, and the Lions logo is there. That to me celebrates the turning point in this rebuild.
Oh, absolutely. I like when, like, there's a show on ESPN that I watch most mornings, at least I watch a little bit of it anyway, that's called Get Up. And they've really come down strong on the Detroit Lions in the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks. Now, when they got beat by Carolina, they sort of dropped off the face of the earth, you know, for part of the week. But, boy, after that win last week over the Chicago Bears, not that the Bears are really a good team, but the way they just took them apart, that's, once again, the Detroit Lions. You hear the pundits and the pros and the former general managers and all that saying the Detroit Lions are a team you don't want to play.
Right.
Well, of course you want to play them because it means you're in the playoffs.
Right.
But a tough out for anybody.
Right. Well, before we get to that, though, I would be remiss if we didn't spend at least 5 minutes talking about the incident on Monday Night Football and what it means to football going forward and what it meant last night. And for those who are been in a cave or in a tunnel and don't know, there was a suspension of the game last night, maybe even a end of the game. I don't know if they're going to make it up or not, but safety Damar Hamlin from the Buffalo Bills on a routine tackle, it looked like, had a cardiac incident. He had to be resuscitated on the field. The game ended there after a long wait to see if they were going to play it. And right now, I don't know any news about how he is or whatever, but it just put a pall on football for that night. And, Mike, you've seen 3 or 4 of these incidents. I know the world didn't start until Twitter started, where we're talking about this has never happened before. But this has happened a couple times, and it's happened a couple times here in town. And you were there for, I think, all of them.
Well, when you say major, look, they're all major. But three that really were, you know, heavily covered. One was, I think it was 1971 or 72. I forget which year, but Dan Ewald, my colleague at the time at the Detroit News, we went to the Sunday game against the Bears, got a couple of press passes, which was common in those days. And really, we're just going to watch the game and help out if they need it as well. That's the game where Chuck Hughes died on the field, literally died on the field. They could not resuscitate him. I remember taking him off. They were wheeling him across the field at Old Tiger Stadium, and you could see his arm just dangling on the side of the, you know, and sure enough, yeah, you know, some maybe 30 minutes or 40 minutes after that, they had announced that he had passed away. You know, the next big one, I mean, I say they're all big ones, but I'm just talking about the ones that got the publicity, was Mike Utley, really good offensive lineman, a young offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions in his third year, playing against the Rams late in November, blocking for a touchdown pass by Mike Farr. Gets pitched forward, hits the crown of his helmet, and just explodes the bones into
the
back of his neck and all his vertebrae and all of that, paralyzed for life, quadriplegic. And then what turned out not to be quite as serious or anywhere near as serious, I should say, 1997, a game most known for Barry Sanders going over the 2,000-yard mark, but also in that game, Reggie Brown, a second-year linebacker who really looked Ken, like a budding Pro Bowl, All-Pro type of player for the Detroit Lions, had a player land on the top of his helmet, just boom, crunched his vertebrae, nearly died on the field. But he was resuscitated, taken off in an ambulance, as was Utley. But the news turned out to be pretty good for him. I think he had a press conference 2 or 3 days later at Henry Ford Hospital. You know, the one down there not far from the Fisher Building in Detroit, and he actually got up and walked to the podium and to take questions and so on. So he got off the best of all of those, but he had still some function that was, damaged for life, but really nothing to the degree that the other guys, obviously Chuck Hughes, of course, being the worst of all.
Yeah, and I just want to say that this is an evolution of 25 years. And me and you talked about this earlier. It may be a little different, but the Reggie Brown incident to me was the same. It was panic on the field. Reggie stopped breathing for a while. The ambulance had to come get him. I remember Johnny Morton running into the end zone and bringing the stretcher down. They continued that game, though.
Yes, they did.
We talked about this. I don't want to get too deep into it, but there was a few differences, like maybe Reggie was stabilized when they got him, so they continued it. But if social media would have been around, they would have not continued that game. And it's amazing, all these tweeter birds last night, talking about this has never happened before. It's almost exactly the incident. It's just that over these 25 years, I think people have evolved a little bit. And I think because everybody knowing about it, like back then there was no Twitter. So if you weren't watching the Lions game that locally or whatever, you wouldn't have known what happened until after the game. Right now, everybody knew last night. It was Monday Night Football plus Twitter. They could not have continued that game.
No, I agree with that. But you know, even Adam Schefter, I heard him say a couple of times, we have never had ambulances on the playing field. This has never happened before in the history of the game. No, it has.
It was ambulance on the field in the Patriots game with the Lions this year.
Right. No, it's
with Savion Smith.
And the one thing I heard late last night, and then again many times, actually I heard it this morning, it wasn't last night, how the teams drill for these things. They have their medical staffs, and they practice it in the off season and during training camp, and they rehearse it and all that. So they're ready to go on all 8 or 9 home games, whatever you have. So, and even chart out the route to the nearest, you know, trauma one hospital in the area. So there's no, there's no delays, there's no catches, there's none of that. They get the best care you can possibly get. Sometimes it's not enough. That's just, that's the nature of it too. You never know how it's going to hold out.
Yeah. So I'm not going to get too deep into it. And we have prayers out for young Hamlin and hope everything turns out. And we're going to proceed with the rest of football. We're not forgetting about it, but I just felt that we needed to talk about that first before we get into the Lions and what's going on with them. But
one other thing about him and players like him, he was a 6th-round draft pick and was making, the second year he made himself a starter this year. I think he started 13 or 14 games. And really was on his way to having a really good, productive career as a player. And now we don't know what's going to happen. You never know. There are miracles or recoveries and all that. But if he doesn't, in another 2 years, he'd probably be a $4 or $5 million player taking care of his family for life. And then all of a sudden, all of that changes, just bingo, just like that. That's, the stress on the family, the love. His mother was at the game. It's just a sad thing all the way around.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And like I said, everybody knows what could happen. You never expect to see. And I'm not going to get into it because I only want to spend a few minutes on it. But the way supposedly if that incident happened, if it's that myocardial or whatever it is, it has to be an exact hit at the exact time with the exact heart pumping at the exact same time. It's just infantile amount of, I'm going to say infantile, time consequences to it. It has to be perfect. And that's why it's rare on the field that happens, but it can happen. It's like somebody get hit in the chest with a baseball. You have to hit when the heart is pumping at exactly the right pace to do that. And that seems like what happened right now. I don't want to get into it because, like I said, I don't know for sure. But it's just these things happen and we move on. Let's move on to the Lions because I don't want to – we could spend all day on this alone. But like I said, our prayers are out to him.
Yeah, just one other thing, just to back up what you said, too. One of those medical professionals was on one of the shows this morning, and she said it's a millisecond makes the difference.
Yeah, a millisecond.
Millisecond, yeah. My gosh.
So, anyway, like I said, prayers out to Mr. Hamlin and hope everything turns out all right. But let's get into the Lions. I know this is secondary to somebody's health and life and death, but the Lions will be playing a Sunday night game. They finally get flexed to a game outside of Thanksgiving where the country will see it. The only bad part is that Seattle will have played at 4:25, so we'll know probably when the game starts if it's for the division, for the playoff spot or not. It will just be Green Bay going for it. You'll know ahead of time. I think the NFL messed that up. They should have played them both at 8 o'clock at night because the other game doesn't have to be a national game. You could have just played it at 8 o'clock at night for the two markets to see. And that way the games go simultaneously, and then that would have been a better outcome. Because Seattle has a point. that if the they think that if the Lions aren't playing for the playoff spot, they're not going to play as hard, and they won't, you know, they won't, I'm not going to say they throw in the game, but they won't mentally play as hard as they would if they were playing for a playoff spot, and that hurts them. I agree with them.
Well, I agree with them, but I think the Lions will play hard until if the game gets, you know, maybe a 14 or 17 point deficit, you know, midway or near the end of the third quarter, then they might say, okay, guys, we've had enough, and play some guys who don't ordinarily get a lot of playing time. But I think the Lions, no matter what's at stake or what's not at stake, when that game starts at 8:25 p.m. Detroit time on Sunday, their intention is going to be to play as hard as they can and beat the Green Bay Packers. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
No, they don't have to worry about that, because the Packers, you know how much I hate the Packers. When I say hate, I hate in a sports way. I don't hate people really, but I do hate the Packers,
yes,
and I hate Aaron Rodgers. No,
yes, you do.
My sports hate. I hate Aaron Rodgers, and I hate the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers is a whiny, whiny man, and I hope the Lions hand him his hat this Sunday night, even if the Lions aren't playing for anything. I'm just sick of him, and he's just I don't even want to talk about Aaron Rodgers right now, but I like the way this set up. Dan Campbell embraces this. He even said before, right after the game on Sunday, that, hey, let them win and let us go and let us play for it. And he wants them. And this is one of those games. This is a playoff game, Mike, without being a playoff game. If this is the best the Lions do this year in year two of the rebuild, this is a playoff atmosphere, so you can see who the guys you're going to war with, who's going to be there for you.
Well, if the Lions lose and you say that and the narrative is, well, this doesn't count, it ruined the season, then you've been looking to say that since.
Yeah, you just want to be miserable. You just want to be miserable, right? Then you can be miserable by yourself, because I don't want to be miserable with you.
I think no matter what, I think it's been a good season for the Detroit Lions. Winning and not making the playoffs would be even better. Winning and making the playoffs would be a great season for the Detroit Lions for where they've been in recent years. Think about this, Kenny. They were 3-13-1 last year, and 1-6 after 7 games this year. That's 4-19 with one tie. Look where they came from that start. That start over a season and a half. 4-19-1, and they ended up going 7-2 the rest of the way. Got a chance to make the playoffs. Had a chance to get to 8-2. I think it's been a pretty remarkable accomplishment for this team, these players, these coaches, front office, the whole group.
Yeah, no doubt. And like I said, good to me was when they got back to 7-7, good season. Very good seasons when they finished the schedule, home schedule, with more wins than losses. They were 5-3. Were they 5-4 at home or 5-3 at home? I think 5-4 at home. They played 9 home games. They won 5. But they at least finished with a positive home record. That, to me, is okay. And now,
and also 4-1 in the division, Kenny.
Yeah, I was going to get to the division, and I also going to get to, if they win this last game, they'll be 4-4 on the road, which to me, those are the things you look for when you see teams coming up. How are they doing in division? How are they doing in conference? How are they doing on the road? And that's the three things that I see that are the best part of this rebuild this year.
Right, it's a lot easier to hit the golf ball when it's teed up.
Yeah.
The Lions have taken some out of the weeds here.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Now, as good as the thing is, as we've been talking about, and I'll talk about Green Bay in a minute, a couple of things in the Chicago game I'm a little concerned with.
Oh.
And none of them are offense. None of them are on offense.
40.
I know, but I'm concerned with Okuda getting benched.
I am too.
This is 3 games in a row where he's played poorly. The Minnesota game, he was sick. I gave him that one. But then he played poorly the next game, and he was benched this game. And, Mike, a number 3 pick, even though they didn't pick him, and they don't have an allegiance to him if it comes down to it. Brad Holmes had nothing to do with the pick. But when you look at Sauce Gardeners of the world and all these other guys, Mike, this is not good.
No, it's not good at all. I thought, 10, 12 games into the season, I thought he really was developing and he was a good plus player, but he hasn't been. Look, it's not a 12 game season. It's 18 weeks, 17 games, and he hasn't finished the way you want him to finish. Now, we'll see what happens on Sunday in Green Bay. Does he resurrect himself? I don't know. I don't see him trending in that direction now. I thought he was trending up until these last 3-4 games, whatever it is, and now he's certainly, at the very least, or very best, I should say, I could say about him is that he's flattened out. But, you know, it's sort of like more instead of flattened out, it's kind of going downhill.
Well, I'm gonna give him this. There's the most games he's played since he left college. This is really his first full season playing. So I'm gonna give him that. But there's a decision to be made in the offseason if they're gonna pick up that fifth year option. And if you would put me a gun to my head right now, I couldn't tell you which way the Lions are thinking.
No, I can't either. I can only tell you what I would do. I wouldn't, but not for any other reason. I just wouldn't. You know, you've got to be trending in a certain direction, and like I said, I wouldn't.
And the worst part about it is that means another position we have to look at in the off season instead of having that position covered, and you could go ahead and do everything else. Now you have, even if he plays the rest of the year out and they go to playoffs and he starts whatever, you still got a question mark there that you're going to have to make a decision in the offseason. Is that position filled, or are we have to look for something else? So it's just something that didn't need to be done. That position should be covered for the next 8 years.
No, I would agree with you, but that certainly is not the case. At least, you know, look, could he turn everything around on Sunday against Green Bay? I mean, I think he can play well, but I don't think it erases what happened in the last 2, 3, 4 games.
No. So that's the one thing I had for Sunday. I mean, from Sunday's game, that was a little downer to me. Yeah. Everything else looked up. I still say on that defense, though.
Yeah.
They're missing the guy. And Aiden Hutchinson may become the guy. And, you know, James Houston will be a good sack guy. I think he'll be strictly a sack guy. I don't think he'll be a every down the guy. But he could be. But they had one more big piece of that defense in the offseason, Mike, and the growth I think the young players will have. I think that defense has a lot of potential next year.
No, I really do, too, and I agree with you. You look, some guys at the start of the season, you might not have expected them to be major players. And I'm not talking about not the guy, but John Kaminsky. Did anybody expect?
Didn't even know who he was at the beginning of the season.
Not really, but you know, look, he's a guy, he's a known guy in the league and all that. He's played, but boy, I'll tell you what, he fits what the Detroit Lions do, and the Detroit Lions fit what he does. I mean, it's a mutual fit. I mean, he's good for them, and their system is good for him. And Josh Paschal, second round pick from Kentucky, missed a lot of training camp, a lot of the preseason, and a lot of games.
You mean all the training camp?
Well, yeah, I'm being nice.
All the training camp.
How can I say that when I forgot something? But he's playing really good ball. He really is.
What is he, Mike?
I think he's an inside pass rushing defensive end.
Okay.
I think he plays more inside than he does outside.
Okay.
I think he's strong. He's built. He's got that build. You know, he's got power. And I like the way he plays. I really do.
Yeah, I like it too. I was, like I said, you know, when that draft came and they called him for the second round pick, I was. I want to see, but I like the thought process that Brad Holmes went through to take him in the second round. That was pretty good. So you took a couple of ends. Now, James Houston fell in their lap. I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, we knew what he was going to be. But right now, he's a missile, man. 8 sacks in, what, 6 games? I mean, wow.
No, absolutely. You know, he's got – I don't think it's a fluke here. Now, I don't think he's going to get – you know, I don't think he's going to be a 20-sack man or anything like that. But I think he's going to be a – you know, a 10, 12, 13, whatever, you know, sack player. I just think he's got that athletic ability that you can, you know, look, he can get low coming around the, you know, coming around the edge.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do that, you know, and those guys, when you do, it's hard to block. It's hard for those big tackles to, you know, get down and get as low as he gets.
Oh, they showed a play the other day where he went low on the Buffalo tackle, man. That tackle had no chance to get that low. He was like, it was like at probably knee level, and I'm like, that tackle barely could bend over his waist. I said, no chance, and he got a sack off of it.
That tackle couldn't have gotten if Houston had played in slow motion.
That's right.
Played in fast motion.
No, if he was sitting in a chair, he couldn't have got that low.
No. So,
well, that's what I said. It looks good. Now, saying all that.
Here we go.
Comes week 18.
Yeah.
And I look back on anyway, if the Lions even would have won that Carolina game, they were still going to have to win this week. They were still going to have to win this week.
Okay.
So You know, that's just a fact of the game. So it might they might have been able to get it with a victory they would have been in for sure, but they still would have had to win this week anyway, no matter what Seattle, because Seattle would have been tied with them. So you still had to win. So it hurt you a little bit because it's a question mark if you can get in, but you still had to win. So it comes down to this Green Bay game. You beat them the first time 13-9. Not a great game aesthetically. It was a good game for you because you won. Both teams, to me, have gotten better since that time. This is Lambeau Field in January. The temperature, according to what they're saying right now, is not going to be that bad. It'll be in the 20s, but at least it's not going to be one of those below zero games with snow blowing. Might snow a little bit, I guess, but none. We've seen worse games. The only thing I have a problem with, Mike, and there's always something funny going on when they go to Green Bay. One year, remember Sam Twan Gatto or whatever threw the ball out the end zone. Yeah. There was a Herman Moore was one step out on a play before. Barry Sanders gets -1 yard in the game. Yeah. It's all this funny stuff that happens in Lambeau Field with the Lions, and I don't want to see that this week.
No, I agree with that, but I don't know what you're going to do about it. I was listening to their head coach's Monday press conference, and he talked about how the light is different for night games in Lambeau Field. And I mean, come on, buddy.
Who's that, LaFleur that said that?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur, yeah. Come on. I thought, come on. But, you know, I'll tell you, he was very complimentary of the Detroit Lions, especially the offensive line. He talked about it at length, and he said it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the Detroit Lions are the two best offensive lines in football. And I don't disagree with him. I don't study every other team the way he does, but if he says it, I believe it.
And
the same thing, Aaron Rodgers said pretty much the same thing, and he also said, they're not the same old Lions. Well,
yeah, okay.
Prove him right.
Don't even give me an Aaron Rodgers quote because I don't want to hear it. But I don't care if it was positive or not. I don't like him. And you got to remember this. The Lions offensive line has played exactly zero snaps as a full offensive line this year.
Well, you're talking about because the one guy didn't play.
Yeah, because Big V didn't play. I'm just saying the starting offensive line never played one snap the whole year together.
No, but
and they still had a great line.
But the five guys who've been doing most of the playing have played a lot of games together.
No, I know. I'm just saying that it would have been even better if they would have had their whole starting line together for the year. Because Big V was a very good player.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
You know, so that just shows you how good the line is at the four of them together. And Ragnow has been playing basically at 75% all year. You know, next year when he's more healed or if he has surgery afterward or it heals up or whatever – he'll be back to – he wasn't even playing in his best form and he was still a Pro Bowler. That shows you how good some of these guys are.
Yeah, Ragnow's the best center in football. I don't think there's any –
when he's healthy. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But I'm just saying, he's at 75% of what he could be now because of that foot.
I don't think anybody's outplaying him at center.
No.
I don't.
So it comes down to this, Mike. And like you say, I'm sure you don't know, but, okay, this is the Lions' dilemma. This is Detroit dilemma. Listen to this. Right now, the Lions have the Rams' first-round pick. It's number 6. With a loss, it will be no lower or higher, as you say, than number 6. It could go as low as 4 or 3. I think it can go as low as 4. So a lot of people will say, I'd rather have the pick, let the Rams lose to Seattle, because the Rams are playing Seattle this week. If the Rams beat Seattle, the pick could go all the way up to number 9. Still a top 10 pick. But that'll give the Lions the opportunity to play for the title. Now, option 3 is the Lions lose the game, which would give them about the 16th to 18th pick in the draft, and the Rams lose, and you get the 4th pick or 5th pick. You had a 5th pick and 18th pick. Would you rather have the playoff opportunity, or would you rather have the draft picks going into next year?
I'm all for winning. I don't care if it's a preseason game, a regular season game, playoff game. You play to win. I don't even want to discuss it.
I agree. And like I said, if it comes out at worst and you go to the playoffs and you draft in the 20s and you get the 9th pick from the Rams, I'll take it. I'll take it.
I'll take it any day of the week. Any day of the week.
Now.
And when you've got 2 first-round picks that are in fairly good position, the manipulating you can do plus the second-rounders and the third-rounder they have, there's no reason that the Detroit Lions can't get done what they want to get done in the 2023 draft.
Well,
no reason whatsoever.
We'll get to this later on, but my philosophy is with that Rams pick, wherever it ends, trade down off of that pick and try to get another first rounder next year where Tina wants to come up maybe for a quarterback or something. And then that'll give you 3 years in a row with 2 number 1 picks. And that's how you set a franchise up.
Well, let me just ask you this, though. If you trade the pick away, how can you have two number one picks?
Well, if team trading up, they're going to have to give you their pick this year and next year's number one. I'm saying, if I got to trade down, I'm fine with it. Because right now, you're at the point, you just want to add real good players.
Well,
because there's no great player in that draft where you're drafting. The Georgia guy and the Alabama guy are going to be gone. And there'll be quarterbacks there, but like I said, you might not want to get involved with that. So, like I said, this is a story for another time, but I'm just putting it out there. If you can have three consecutive years of two number one picks, then you're in business, Mike.
Sometimes I get a headache thinking about your abilities. I can feel it coming on. I'm searching for the aspirin already.
I hear you. Well, let's talk.
I understand what you but the idea of would you rather have the win or the pick? I take the win every day of the week.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, Mike, these last three games have done more for experience for that young team. And I'm not even counting if they go to a playoff game. Just these last 3 weeks, you had a must win that got you to 7-7. Then you had a loss that you learned from. Then you had a comeback gigantic win in your last home game. And now this game here. These last games have done more for that franchise moving forward than anything else that could have happened this year.
No, I would agree with you. I really do. Even when you think about it, it's not fully accurate to say it, to put it this way, but I think maybe in the long run that loss to Carolina might have helped this team in the long run. Now, it did help them in the short run, and it was terrible the way they played. But I think they learned a lesson there. I really do. And that's, as a young player, they've got so many first, second, and third-year players there who've never been to the playoffs. Now they know what's at stake. Now they know what it's like to win, and they know what it's like to blow a game and lose.
Yeah, they know what it's like to walk on the field and think they can throw their helmet out there and just win.
Absolutely. No,
so, like I said.
Right. The other team's got good players, too.
That's right. That's right. Now, before we wrap up here, because we're about to wrap this up, and I'm gonna say it one more time. I hate Aaron Rodgers with sports passion, and I just want to see him get it handed to him again, to see that smug face at the press conference afterward, explaining so he can spell the word relax again, and you can relax your butt into the off season because I'm tired. Just putting them out of the playoffs is worth more than anything. I don't like him. But anyway, it's going to be a good game.
Pretty loud and clear, yeah.
Now, the national media has already got Green Bay in the playoffs. I've been watching for 2 days now, and it's like Detroit ain't got a chance. Green Bay's going to playoffs. Aaron Rodgers is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And him and Brady in the playoffs would be great for ratings. Blah, 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 blah. Okay. Let's spoil the national narrative, too. I'm telling you right now, you can slay so many ghosts with a victory Sunday night.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you what, to back up what you said on ESPN, when the announcement came out that this was going to be an 8:25 p.m. start for this game, they worded it this way. Green Bay Packers playoff drive moved to 8:25 p.m. The Detroit Lions don't exist.
No, they're the Washington Generals to the Harlem Globetrotters of this thing.
You know what I mean?
So, yes.
That's the way Sports Illustrated, not Sports Illustrated, ESPN, my mistake. ESPN, that's the way they framed it.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. God.
Well, like I said, the national media. Now, Romo, I'm assuming, is doing the game, right? Mike Tirico game. Tirico game. Okay, well, Romo has already announced the Lions are back at Thanksgiving. This is the national coming out party, and I'm going to tell you right now, this is a big game for Jared Goff.
Absolutely.
Because Jared has been balling up to now. He's at 29-7 touchdowns interceptions. When you do 4-1 touchdowns interception, that's a good damn season. I went and looked it up. I think there's only one other quarterback that's 4-1. I don't even think Mahomes is 4-1 because Mahomes has 12 interceptions and 40 some touchdowns. So he's not even 4-1. I think that's the best ratio of any quarterback out there right now.
No, that reminds me of Aaron Rodgers in his prime.
Right, Aaron Rodgers is prime. Aaron would have, 39-3 or something. He would be
something
real
like
low
that.
Interception.
Yeah.
So, Goff is having that type of season. But you put the cherry on the top, you go into Lambeau and play a good game.
Yeah, just play good. Everything will take care of itself. If you lose, you lose. But just play good, solid football. That's all.
Have we stopped the discussion now who the quarterback for next year is?
For me, long time ago.
Well, you for a long time ago, but have we not finished with that? We've decided now?
You know what? Until we feel like talking about it again. absolutely. He's going to look. He's going to be the quarterback here for the next 5 to 8 years. And his next, when he lands in another year, you're going to have to look at his contract and say, "Boy, is he underpaid? I have to renegotiate him and all that other stuff." And he's going to be here for a long, long time.
I know we got one game left, but unless disaster strikes, I'm going to ask you the question right now: is his season better than Stafford's 2011 season?
No, because that look, they hadn't been in the playoffs since.
No. I'm not talking playoffs season.
No, I know, but they hadn't been in the playoffs in so long that he really that's look. He had 41 touchdown passes, 5,020 or 30 yards. No, it wasn't. It's not as good.
I think it's a better season. It's a better season. I'm gonna tell you why. Stafford, I think, had 15 interceptions that year. He had a lot. Okay. I remember that. Yeah. He had the 5,000 yards. I agree, and they did go to playoffs, but I just think Goff has been consistent all year. And like I said, he could blow it in his last game. But up to right now, if he finishes off with like a three touchdown performance this week, or two touchdown, one pick, as long as he doesn't have more picks than touchdowns this week, 30 touchdowns and less than 10 interceptions, I got to think that's a better season. We'll talk about it after when it's completed, but just think about that. Keep that in your mind. It's not the best season, this is the second best season of any quarterback the Lions have had.
Well, it's been a good stretch of football for him, and I think it's probably been more impactful than Matthew Stafford's last 3 years here in Detroit, where they got nothing done. It wasn't his fault, but there was just no impact on what he was doing.
No. But again, if you put Matthew Stafford behind that offensive line they got now and that offense, he would have had a good season too.
Absolutely.
He will.
Absolutely.
All right, Mike. So we're not doing a Friday thing. So let's get a prediction out now. This is the prediction. This is where we're going to do it. Seattle Rams, give me a prediction. Then Green Bay, Detroit, 8 o'clock, Channel 4, Sunday Night Football for all the marbles. Give me your two predictions.
Okay, Rams 23, the Seattle Seahawks 21. And now for the big one. Packers 20, Lions 30.
Oh, what a homer. What a homer.
You're right. On this one, I am.
I'm going to put it like this. The Rams are going to lose. And they will take it to the fourth quarter, but Baker Mayfield throws an interception or does something stupid like Baker always does, and they lose. Lions get the word right before game time that they can't get to the playoffs, but they can put Green Bay out. And I'm taking Green Bay 29, Detroit 23. It's so much funny stuff happens in Lambeau. I hope I'm wrong on both counts, but I just think both ends of this are going to go bad.
Well, let me just give you one little statistic here on the Lions and the Green Bay Packers. In the last 11 games played between these two teams, the Detroit Lions have won 6 and the Green Bay Packers have won 5.
Very good.
Take that home, Jerome.
All right. Oh, and I got to add another one to the craziness of a Lambeau Field. Trey Flowers getting 2 penalties at the end of the game, 2 phantom penalties on grabbing face masks or whatever they called, and he didn't have his hand anywhere near, and then they lost that game. I mean, it's always something going on up there, man. I think we may have to invade. I think the state of Michigan may have to get the militia up, and we may have to go up there and invade Wisconsin. I just think we may have to take that town over.
We'll come in there with our Yugos.
That's right. Come across that Ludington ferry. Come in on the water, you know, like a fake landing, a D-Day landing. So, all right. But anyway, Mike, we'll talk next week. We'll do a season wrap up. Ladies and gentlemen, when the K&M podcast started, we told you we're going to relax and have fun this year and watch the team develop. I think, Mike, we have laid our promise out there, and I think it was accepted. I think this has been a fun season.
I think so, too. I think the Lions backed up their end of it, and so have we.
That's right. So until next week, and we'll find out if there's going to be a playoff edition or a recap edition. This is Kim Brown from WJR and Mike O'Hara from DetroitLions.com talking Lions football.